Erin Davies had a rainbow sticker on her VW bug. Not the kind of rainbow sticker with a unicorn attached or anything, but the kind usually associated with gay pride. While parked on a street in Albany, someone painted the words fag and you are gay on the hood in the driver's side window of her car. It happened on April 18th, 2007, National Day of Silence, an annual event to bring attention to anti-lesbian, gay, bi, and transgender bullying, harassment, and discrimination. Now, she didn't remove the words from her car. She left the graffiti on and drove across the country on a 58-day tour, and she filmed her trek. The car is now known as the Fag Bug, and it's the star of her documentary, which is in the works. Erin Davies joins us. Hi, Erin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. So when you first came out and saw your car with this graffiti on it, what was your first initial reaction?
My first reaction was just shock. I mean, I thought it's 2007. We're so far beyond this kind of stuff. I had never seen anything like that before. I mean, it was just beyond me that somebody would actually do that. You know, I've been openly gay since I was 17. I'm 29 years old now, so. Writing you are gay is like writing your name is Aaron or you have brown eyes or writing you are heterosexual on someone's car. That's okay with being heterosexual. I mean, it didn't really hurt my feelings to see that, but writing fag on my car, I feel like fag is, again, it's not really a word directed towards a woman, so it seemed kind of foreign to me. You know, the words that they wrote, it made it obvious that they just saw the rainbow sticker and decided to do that.
Now, you obviously had a choice. You could have gotten that cleaned up right away. But when did it hit you that you were going to leave that derogatory statement on your car?
For me, it's important for people to know that, you know, I did feel those initial feelings that everybody would feel when I walked out to first see my car. It's not like I walked out and said, oh, this is awesome. What a great opportunity. You
Right,
know,
right.
I went through all the emotions that anybody would go through. And it's actually one of those weird coincidences. I wanted to get it fixed, you know, as soon as possible. I called my insurance company that day, and they said that it would take 5 days. And this is how much I didn't want to drive the car. I made them give me a rental car because I refused to even drive the car the first day. I was like, it has fag next to my face. There's no way I'm driving it. It's humiliating. You've got to be kidding me. So, they actually got me a rental car, and I drove the rental car for 2 days. People in my neighborhood came up to me in the rental car and stopped me in the middle of traffic to talk to me about my car. 2 days later, I was going for a run one morning, and the parking lot attendant where my car is always parked, this guy came up to me and had a 45-minute conversation with me about my car. It's like I just started feeling like I couldn't get away from it, so I eventually decided to embrace it. That morning, that's kind of when it all came to me. I was like, well, there's something to this. So I decided to drive to school that day. I got this great parking spot in front of the admissions building. I mean, it's so weird. I've never gotten a good parking spot in Kansas. I'm going to get this great spot right in front of the admissions building within 1 hour that morning, between 9 and 10 in the morning. There were over 15 phone calls made to public safety. People were giving me their feedback, like I should take the sticker off because they didn't want me to get hurt, or I should keep it on because I shouldn't let somebody bully and intimidate me. So it all kind of started with this polar opposite reaction to what should I do about the sticker, keep it on or take it off. People either very empathetic and upset, wanting to know whose car that is, wanting to help, or they were like, get that car off our campus immediately.
When you were driving around with the car a little bit initially before you decided to make this film, and people stopped you and wanted to talk to you about what someone had done to your car, what did people want to talk to you about? Did they want to give you solidarity, or did they wonder why you were still driving the car?
Well, at first I wasn't driving the car, so at first people just they wanted to come find me and tell me, you know, they saw my car parked and they were just kind of coming to me to give me support, like my neighbors, you know. And then once I decided to drive it, my car is all of a sudden parked in different areas. People start leaving me notes on my car. So I mean, this kind of this overwhelming response that people are having. I mean, mechanic left a note on my car saying he would offer to fix it for free. You know, I'm so sorry somebody did that. Someone left me a note that said hero on it and gave me, you know, $5 for my trip. A pastor left me a note, you know, saying I'm so sorry. I mean, just. I definitely opened myself up to even broader responses than just driving it in Albany.
I
But
can imagine.
most people.
So the people that the cross-country trip that you decided to take and you started to document, what cities did you go to?
I went to like 30 different cities, but my route was basically starting in Albany, going directly down south. And then my next event was in Colorado, so I went to Alabama and I went to Memphis on my way to Colorado. From there, I went, you know, out west. I went to LA, Vegas.
Vegas. Let's talk. I know we have a clip of you talking to somebody in Vegas, somebody who has seen your car. So let's
Okay.
take a quick listen to that clip.
What do you think you'd do if someone did this to your car? Like, if you walked out and saw that on your car, what do you think you would do?
And I knew the person who did it. Oh, I'd crack their skull open with a baseball bat. That's exactly what I'd do. I'd knock the living shit out of them. Are you joking me? Not because of any other reason. Yeah, I got news for you, sweetheart. If I saw him doing it to your car, I would have knocked the shit out of him. There's no room. There's no room for people like this. It's wrong. It's wrong.
I think he's from Vegas by way of Brooklyn. That accent of his. Did you have anybody who reacted negatively to you and say, "Why are you doing this? Why are you driving around with this car like this?"
I did. I was leaving Madison, Wisconsin, and this 17-year-old kid. But I eventually got the license plate. It says FG Bug. I couldn't get Fag Bug, so my license plate also kind of says Fag Bug too. And I was leaving a gas station. It was always very interesting, the response that I would get at gas stations. But I'm leaving a gas station, and this 17-year-old kid is in this, like, white pickup truck, and he just looks back at me, and he keeps shaking his head at me. You know, it's like 5 or 6 times, and I eventually just went next to him and said, why are you shaking your head at me? What are you thinking, you know? And he just said, I think you're so ridiculous for having that in your car and driving your car like that, driving a license plate. And whenever people had a reaction on my trip, I just said, well, can I talk to you and interview you? And he said, sure. So I pulled over, and we had, you know, probably like a 45-minute interview, and he's Christian, and his family is very anti-gay, but he has a gay uncle. But a lot of people had never met someone that was gay, and so just getting to talk to a gay person kind of changed their attitudes. Like, even talking to this young kid, he was in all he had basketball clothes on, and I used to play basketball in college, so I had that to relate to him. You know, we related on that topic, and by the end of it, he was like, well, good luck with the rest of your trip, and, you know, he was very friendly with me. So I think it's just being open to having that dialogue with some people can kind of change their attitudes about it.
We're talking to Erin Davies, and she's working on a documentary about when she took her car, which had been vandalized with the word fag and you are gay across it, and she took the car and drove it across country and filmed some reactions along the way. Let's listen to some women out of Seattle that you met.
It feels really juvenile. It feels like teenage or like little boy angst or, it just...
I have a feeling that it wasn't, though, teenagers. Yeah, maybe, but I have a feeling that it wasn't.
Who do you think it was? Like male, female, like someone older? You think it wasn't a teenager?
I guess like my gut, initially my thought was it's got to be like a 30, 40-something male, but that's probably wrong of me to just, like, you know, think that automatically.
Think they are gay or straight. A lot of people think it's a gay person.
Really?
Be, like, with, like, their own internalized, like, homophobia.
Yeah.
My gut says, like, between 10 and 14, white, middle-class boy.
So, what do you hope to accomplish with this documentary? You have all different kinds of points of view about who did it, why they did it, their reaction to you for even getting in the car and driving across the country. What's your ultimate goal with this documentary?
I think whether you're gay or straight, I think everybody can relate to something negative happening to them in their life, and it's very hard to kind of take something like that could initially be hurtful to you and, take that and kind of fuel that into something positive. And so I think it's something that young kids, I would love, you know, a lot of young kids to see this. Everybody can relate to being bullied in one way or another, but to kind of take that and not let that person have that kind of power over you and decide to do something more positive with it.
All right, before I let you go, I understand you submitted this to Sundance?
Yes, I did, right before Christmas. We got the first 20 minutes of the film done. You have to have, like, 20 minutes of continuous footage to submit it to their documentary fund. So I'm crossing my fingers because... For the trip, I raised all the money, but for the documentary, it's like starting over from square one, coming up with the money for it. So if we could get support from Sundance, that would be a dream come true. That would be great.
Well, Erin Davies, good luck with your project, and thanks for being so candid.
Thanks a lot.
Next, we'll talk with a writer about how Google is catching plagiarists.
And join in on the show. Our Twitter feed is up and running. Allison's addicted to it. Twitter.com/BPP. You can tell us what you think, what you're doing, all that good stuff. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.